Today's gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 11 through 17. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will send you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. Thanks be to God. Thank you all for having me back here at Old First. I'm excited to be with you all this morning. Since the last time we talked, I think the last time I told you I was on this like juice smoothie cleanse. That has since gone away, and now I'm baking sourdough bread as though there's no tomorrow. It's a huge kick of mine. I've made a bunch of different loaves, whole wheat loaves, multigrain loaves, country rye bread. And what's really incredible to me is that it only takes four ingredients to make bread. Just the right amount of flour, some water, it's a little pinch of salt, and this. This is a sourdough starter, for those of you who haven't made sourdough bread before. It's a smelly blob of mush, and it's the secret ingredient that brings sourdough bread to life. When all of these things, the flour, the water, the salt, and this guy right here mix together, the starter makes the dough rise, and it gives the squishy sludge of dough makes it fluffy, carby goodness. So I have to say, there's nothing like pulling that carby goodness out of the oven. It's got an intoxicating smell. You can actually hear the crust like crackling when you pull it out. It's still forming and making the bread. There's nothing like knowing you've managed to create this thing, this very basic thing that we make to sustain our lives, one of our most basic foods. And to have pulled that out of the oven, there's nothing like the pride that you feel when you do that. Now, this is one of the most essential foods we create for life. This is what Jesus calls himself, the bread of life. And this is what he presents to his disciples during his final meal as a symbol of his life, his body, and his ministry. Our scripture reading today takes us close to that moment, that final meal in the Gospel of John. Now, we know this story. Jesus gathers his followers for an evening meal, and it was this moment where their own stories would change dramatically. You see, up to this point, John has painted this picture of Jesus as the divine miracle worker sent from heaven to get the world to believe in him. The first half of the Gospel of John is miracle after miracle after miracle. We have Jesus turning water into wine, healing three people, walking on water, feeding 5,000, and if that's not enough, raising a man from the dead, because why not? So for 3 years, Jesus is moving from place to place to place, doing great works and dazzling followers. But now at this moment, Jesus is left with his true believers. People have given all of themselves to following him in the face of uncertainty, in the face of scorn and shame. And yet they're there because they've experienced something life-giving in Jesus. Something greater than anything they'd experienced before. And it's at that moment where Jesus finally lays it all out to them and says, I'm leaving you. And this world we've created together, it's profoundly going to change. Now, I invite us this morning to sit with that for a little bit. These followers who had found purpose, these followers who had seen life getting better, these followers who had seen healing and love and justice and mercy pouring out from this man, being told by him that it's all going to go away. Can you imagine that hopelessness? Can you imagine what it was like to even mentally prepare for the fact that your life was about to be uprooted again after you just uprooted it for this Jesus person and his cause? Can you imagine what it was like to taste a little bit of perfection and progress and peace and to be told it's going away? I don't know about you, but that sounds traumatic. It sounds shocking. But it's a moment that in many ways I think we can feel right now. As I've finished up my time at seminary and spent time with even more churches and congregations and just folks in this city and beyond, I think many of us, we're sitting in a moment where a lot of the things that we believed in, the things that gave us meaning and purpose and stability in our lives, they don't make as much sense anymore. They've begun to fail us, and they're not what they once were. Many of us are still reeling after we saw, and we continue to see, our country that was moving in a better direction, but a deeply flawed, imperfect direction, but a direction that seemed to be more open, more equal, more dignified, more honest, more equitable, and more just. And yet now we see truth being chiseled away. We see bigotry and violence encouraged by our leaders. We see fear and hatred enshrined into law. Just take this week. I can't tell you how heartbreaking and gut-wrenching it was to see the leader of our nation openly speaking racist, xenophobic, offensive words at four women of color who are serving our country. And then to see thousands of people chant those words back to him like a battle cry. It was unreal. Something unimaginable just a few short years ago. And yet this is our current moment. When our systems and institutions have been exposed for being racist and patriarchal, for championing greed over generosity, for surreptitiously reinforcing power at the expense of people. And so I've come to imagine this space as this kind of limbo space we're in, having tasted something that was once very, very good. And now we're confused and saddened by this bitter aftertaste that we have. Earlier this year, a couple months ago, I was at a Passover Seder dinner, and we had this really modern contemporary Haggadah, the read-along Passover story, that invited us to brainstorm ways that we could end oppression now. What can we do? And so people were throwing out all sorts of ideas, from soup kitchens to asylum initiatives, and they were all really, really wonderful, great ideas. But in the middle of that, someone finally said, "What can we do that changes the systemic issues? What can we do that matters?" Not that the other things didn't matter, but what can we do that gets past this feeling of being overwhelmed by everything? And things are overwhelming. And it's easy to get lost in it, and frankly, almost reasonable to start to ignore it. But what do we do? What do we do when we start to see that the things that gave us life and sustained us, when they start to fall apart? What do we do? "Do not let your hearts be troubled," Jesus says, just a few verses before. As the reality of Jesus' departure is becoming more and more real to the disciples, when the goodness they once tasted begins to lose its flavor, and they start saying with desperation, "Can I go with you? Please, Jesus, can I go with you? Can I follow this goodness wherever it goes?" Jesus offers them comfort. He sits with them in their grief. He washes their feet. He listens to them. And he presents them with an audacious task. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. You will do greater works than these, Jesus says. How could we possibly, from beginning to end, the Gospel of John masterfully portrays Jesus as the doer of great works, the greatest works. And here he is, the miraculous one, the master healer, the dead raiser, telling his followers in the middle of their deepest pain that they will do even greater works. As I've sat with these words, I keep getting tempted to explain them away and to simplify them and to cast them into the category of metaphor. But we're not going to do that. And instead, today, I want us to invite us to ask ourselves, what if we took Jesus at his word? Who would we be if we imagined that the God who not only calls us, trusts us like his very flawed followers enough to say, I need you to carry the spirit of goodness into the world, even though I know you're going to mess it up along the way, and that's okay. Could we imagine that even with the pits in our stomach, the uncertainty in our bones, and the grief welling up behind our eyes, that God can use that, and God can harness that, and transform it into something beautiful that the world needs? What would it look like if we trusted that in this limbo moment we're in is not a moment to look back at what was and what we had, but to look toward the new creative work that God is moving us into, knowing that God is right by our side with the hope and comfort and profound inspiration that we need? Friends, the Christian story tells us that Jesus came here for his here and now, and he did great things. He healed the sick, he raised the dead, he brought life to where it was needed. And he didn't let anything or anyone stop him from doing that. God has placed us in this here and now, however confusing and painful it may be. But God left us with God's Spirit to help us do greater works. We must heal our sick. We must raise our dead. We must bring life to the people and the places and the systems that need it. And may we not let anything or anyone stop that movement of goodness into the world. We have work to do. So today I pray for greater works. I pray for the leaders of our cities, our states, our nation, and nations across the world who need to be brought back to life with humility and generosity and servants' hearts. I pray for the lonely in our community who need to be brought back to life with places of belonging, understanding, and real human connection. I pray for our cultural narratives, the stories we tell one another, to be brought back to life with stories that proclaim that the other is not someone to be feared, but loved. I pray for the people struggling in our own neighborhoods who need to be brought back to life with food and housing and comfort and support. I pray for the churches that need to be brought back to life with a courageous willingness to address the deeply felt vital hopes of our here and now. The things we do, big and small, to bring people back to life, just as Jesus did, these are the greater works. These are the things that Jesus has invited us to do. Church, we must always be looking forward while knowing exactly where we've been and where we are, so that we can open our doors wider and love this world into greater justice, greater inclusion, greater reconciliation, and greater wholeness for everyone. And may we do this knowing that we have a great, great God. A great is thy faithfulness, God, a creative God, a healing God, a resurrection God, full of compassion and hope that infuses our every move. One of my favorite things about baking bread is that every time you use this starter, you save a little bit for next time. Each time you use it and feed it, its flavor gets more and more intense. It makes better and better bread. And you can even pass it along to friends so they can make bread of their own. When Jesus came to us, Jesus left a little bit of his spirit. He sparked something with his fiery, fierce spirit of unstoppable goodness. And over the last 2,000 years, that spirit has spread and spread and spread. Each time we invite God to do greater works through us, goodness spreads. It grows in ways we don't even know, into communities we'll never visit, into people we may never meet. But as a final reminder, at the end of the day, like this sourdough starter, we're all just smelly blobs of mush. But may we, with God's help, help one another rise. May we bring life to where it is needed, and may we do greater works for the beautiful people of this beautiful world. Amen.